So this week's parsha is going to be Parshas Vayera, and we're in the middle of the story of the Exodus story. And so, what's happened here is that you have Moses goes to Pharaoh first time, says, "Listen, right? Let people go." And Pharaoh says, "Like, no. Not only that, I'm going to make life worse." Moshe comes back and says to God, "You know, not only did he not like say okay, which you told me he wasn't going to say okay, but things have gotten worse. Like, this is crazy." God then says to him, "Moses, you're looking for instant, you know, atah, now you'll see." And that Rashi comments on that, and now you'll see is that you're going to only see this one, but the future stuff of, you know, the long history of, like, say, even just getting the Jews into the land of Israel, you're not going to see because of your wanting to see things quickly. That's not how this stuff works. Either way, fine. So then God says to him in response, because that's the end of Atatira. That's the end of the parasha last week. And then Hashem said to Moses, "You shall soon see," or "Now you will see," as opposed to in the future. And then God then says, it continues and says, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am Hashem." Yeah. Ani Hashem. We're using that Yud Kei Vav Kei, the transcendental name of God. Then he says like this, "Va'era el Avram el Yitzchak el Yaakov be'el Shaddai." I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, that name. We'll see what that means. But I did not...
That's the name for God, isn't it?
Yeah, so let's see. So he says, I appear to Abraham...
Don't jump. You go ahead.
Okay, but I'm coming back. Can you see this text now that I just put on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blue.
I changed it to blue. Okay. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob with the name Almighty God, Shaddai, but with my name Yud Kei Vav Kei, I did not become known to them. Okay.
The name Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Okay, which we don't pronounce. We don't pronounce that name. But that name is the idea that God is in the past, in the present, in the future. God's above time. He's transcendental. So I only appeared to them with the Almighty God, or maybe the more imminent, let's just say. But the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, I did not appear to them. Okay, so that's like, what does that mean? Like, what is it? Like, what's going on with these? Like, you know, I showed them myself in one way, but not in another way. Okay, so we have to try to understand like what that's about. One of the beautiful ideas I heard from Rav Yitzchak Twersky years ago is he said, you know, the different things. When I say name, you could think it's Hugh, Jonathan, you know, different names, identifiers, yeah. Or you could say the person's got a good name, which means something different. It doesn't mean your actual name, it means your reputation, right?
Yes.
So that maybe what, so Rav Yitzchak Twersky says, Shlita, he says that what's saying here is the Shmi Hashem, my reputation of God as Yud Kei Vav Kei, I never showed them. So very interesting. They're saying, like, basically, I appear to them as individuals, and I never really, like, put it out there to try to, you know, go towards the much more global scale of being known to them, or known to, you know, to the world. Perhaps I left it to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to put it out there. Like, Abraham was out there with Sarah, and they were, like, you know, letting people know about this new idea, the concept of monotheism, etc. But that the name, this like idea of God's reputation, the reputation of God as, you know, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that had not been, he had not revealed himself in that way. So now, just at this point, I wanted to say like this also, that in the first initial stages of creation, what we see, and you think about the contrast of what's going to happen here in the Exodus story, that prior, there's this issue of, you know, a man having space to be. Like, God has to give us space. If God's, like, in our face, there's really no free will, right? There's no... If God starts making, you know, sound and light shows for us and makes himself, you know, like, overpowering, it's like, where's the space? Where's my... It's the same thing as, like, a parent. Like, if we're too on top of our kids and we don't allow them to make mistakes and to mess up and things of that nature, so then we're not allowing them to really become. And so, as a parent... You know, it behooves us to really try to get out of the way, you know? So in a certain sense, the you know, here as well, in a way, like when it says Shaddai, so now God is as Dai. God said, "I said to my world, enough." Now, it means that, like, initially in the creation story, we see that the world was just expanding, expanding, expanding. And at a certain point, God said, enough, stop expansion. Like, let's call that part enough and let the world now kind of do its thing on its own. But that God was said, okay, you know, that's part of the creation, you know, process. I'm putting a stop to that. We're going to pause there. But I was thinking that, in a certain sense, the way that God dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is that there was a involvement that we see there. He was definitely involved with us, but at that point, he was very much like gave a lot of space. Like he definitely like had a relationship with Avram. He told him like, hey, do this, do that, go to the land of Canaan, you know, do all these things. There was directives. Right. But there was a lot of leeway, and there was not, you know, he was not, and he did miracles for them in certain respects. There was like, you know, they say that, right, as we have the tradition, that Avram was thrown into the furnace with Nimrod, and he was saved miraculously. So there were miraculous things that happened to him, but as far as like the way that the world had experienced God on the total big picture, there was none of this big, you know, like I'm going to take 1 million people and bring them through, you know, and bring them out of servitude, and then like, you know, split the sea and have a, you know, have the Mount Sinai revelation. Like, you know, there wasn't that. So until that time, and I want to say that the Shmi Hashem had not been revealed. Like God did not like put that power of the transcendental aspect of himself and really like bring it down to the point of where it was, you know, something that was tangible that he's about to do here. So like the Avos, like the you know, till now, they had to look into nature to see God, which is what we say that Abraham looked at, you know, Avram looked at the world and he said, I can see the connectivity of everything. I see the unity that is God in the backdrop of creation, that everything that's happening here is connected. That was kind of like in that sense, they experienced God from that perspective. But they didn't necessarily...
So go back to the story here. So go back to the story. So what's going on? So God says to Pharaoh...
So God says to Moses. So when God sees Moses at the burning bush, right? Or when Moses sees God at the burning bush and they talk to each other for 7 days, he starts telling them, okay, so now it's time to bring to get the Jews out of slavery and bring them to the Holy Land. That's basically the message, right? And then there's back and forth and it goes, there's a back and forth that Moses like is resistant. He also doesn't necessarily, it's interesting. I saw from a beautiful idea from Rav Cook that Moses says to God, like, they're not going to believe me when I tell them that you've sent me. And, so what's that about? And in a certain sense, he's criticized. Moses is punished for that. He didn't understand. Moshe was like, in a certain sense, sold the Jewish people short and didn't recognize the fact that we have this deep-seated, you know, belief, like there's like they call the pintel of yid, you know, like that little, like the spark that a person, yeah, every Jew has that, like, you know, there's something there deep down that like connects us. So he didn't realize that that was something that's still there, even though they were going through such difficulty, that they would be awakened by the news of a redemption. Okay, so be it. When the idea here is he goes to Pharaoh, brings this message, and then God is like now bringing a little bit more like fine tuning. He now tells him, which is interesting. Originally, he tells him, you know, I'm going to bring them out. Now, the next line about, you know, getting past this idea of the name of or the reputation of Yud Kei Vav Kei, this different aspect of God. But now he says something interesting, and he adds on, he says, okay, and also I established my covenant with them, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them the land of Canaan, and the land of their sojourning, in which they sojourned, okay? So, and then it says, and also I heard the moans of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians are holding in bondage, and I remembered my covenant. So I see their suffering, and it made me, almost in a sense, made me remember the bris, the covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will take you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will save you from their labor. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. and I will take you to me as a people, and I will be a God to you, and you will know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of Egyptians.
Okay.
And that, so what are these that right now here, let's just go quickly here. We see that there are four, we call these the four languages of redemption. I will take you out. This is why we have the four cups of wine. I'll take you out. Okay.
Is that why?
Yeah. I will save you. I will redeem you, and I will take you to be my people. So, you see, there are four things that are happening here. First thing is, I'll take you from out from the burdens of the Egyptians, save you from their labor. And it actually says that the Jews were freed from slavery, meaning that they had this, they were no longer enslaved in terms of, from the perspective of having to do work, Rosh Hashanah, before they were taken out in Passover time, right? Passover time is in Nisan. So 6 months earlier, they no longer were enslaved. They were still there. They were still in Egypt, but they were no longer working hard. So they were no longer enforced labor. So there's this process of, so here we see it. He says to them, okay, now, like, we didn't see this before. You didn't have the four languages of redemption at the burning bush. Now, in here, it's almost like Moses had to go see Pharaoh first, stir up the pot, so to speak, and now comes back to God all broken and upset, and now says, okay, God says to him, now Moses, I'll show you how this is done. Now, what does that mean? What happened? So if you look back, you realize that the burning bush, when God's telling him about this stuff initially, Moses on his own actually introduces the idea of going to talk to the Jewish people. God just says to him at that point, at the burning bush, I want you to go speak to Pharaoh. Moshe then says, when I speak to the Jewish people, and you look like, well, who told you to talk to the Jewish people? Oh, you want to do that? Fine. You want to go there? No problem. So now that you've gone through this exercise of talking to the Jewish people and then going to Pharaoh and causing the problems, and he comes back complaining. So now God says, okay, now I'm going to show you. I didn't never really revealed myself in this way of either my reputation as the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the transcendental God, or I never really made myself really involved in really bringing myself into their face, where I let things in the past, it's always been a little bit more, I gave you more room, that's the Kel Shakai, I want to say. But this idea of God really bringing his presence more tangibly into this story is where we're going to see, that's really what's going to happen here. Because we're about to start, we're entering into the 10 plagues. And if you look at the 10 plagues, there is a pattern. They're basically, we say at the Seder night, we say that Rabbi Yehuda gave them simanim, he gave them signs, tzach hadash b'achav. And that is really what he's doing is he's creating something that's actually saying that the 10 plagues is sets of three threes. And they have a pattern. The pattern is Moses comes in, gives a whole long speech about this is what's going to happen here. And then you have blood. Then you have the next one. He tells it Pharaoh about it. And by the third plague in that set, boom, there's no warning. It just happens. And then you start again. The second set, same idea, long speech. Second one, there's a little bit of a warning. By the third, there's nothing. Comes to the third set, same idea. And each one of these three sets, you have a message of God showing himself in creation. I'm going to show myself. And we can see this is actually, and it starts out here. We have the beginning of the 10 plagues of actually seven out of the 10 are in this parasha. And it's all about really pushing God's presence into the world so that people and the entire world can see God, overtly. Now, you could still see all these plagues and say, I still am not convinced that this is God. Okay, no problem. But the point of this is that now God is going to actively make himself very much, shown to the people. Now, this is could be, on one hand, it's like, why don't we have another, 10 plagues? And why don't we have another revelation at Sinai? And the truth is that that's again, that's taking away The positive of this is that God is showing us himself. He's like revealing, there's a revelation. The flip side is that when God does that kind of thing, it takes away our autonomy and it takes away our ability to like have our own room. It's like this parent-child type of back and forth.
So he's giving us an opportunity to step into the, we have to bring something to the table as well. Like God brings something to the table, we have to bring something to the table as well.
Right. So, so what this is all about is this is a one-time event, a one-time, you know, couple of years of where you're going to have this like very overt, very in-your-face type of, you know, revelation, I would say, of this is like, you know, this is where it all happens, of God is, and this is like this point of like, and I will take you as a nation, right? And I will take you as to me as a people. And I will be a God to you, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And then, this is the thing that we don't say at the night of the Seder, is I will bring you to the land concerning which I raised my hand to give to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage, I am the Lord. That last piece, by the way, is really absent from the night of the Seder, because the night of the Seder is what we're doing there is we're commemorating this initial piece of verses 6 and 7 about God coming and making himself very much overtly shown to be part of, like, involved in this creation, not just that he created the world, but he's involved in the world on an ongoing basis, and that he's coming to take us and to create this very, very intimate relationship with the Jewish people, so much so that when it comes to the Ten Commandments, the first of the Ten Commandments is God's identifying himself as the one who took us out from the land of Egypt. Because that's all this is about, is to create this connection, you know? So, and there is like, in a sense, unfortunately, what happened in the process of this is that number 8, and we talk about God bringing us to the land, that seems to be falling to the side, which we're still dealing, I think in a sense, we're dealing with right now, this issue of our connection as a nation to the land, meaning that this, what we just talked about at the beginning before we started the class, is that, you know, this struggle that we're having today is very much about how you relate to this, to the land. So why didn't it kind of flow through? And the answer is probably because when the 10 spies, or the 12 spies, but when the 10 came back with a negative report, there was a disconnect, that the generation that came out from Egypt was not able to really fully accept and embrace the idea of coming into the land of Israel. They couldn't handle it for whatever reason. And so therefore, you see that this kind of falls off. So we don't have that at the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder is coming back to
what?
Is really coming back to the
sorry.
It's okay. So this is that we're really just coming back to this the points of the beginning of the relationship. The establishment of a relationship, right? So that's what's happening here. And so you see, there is a process. God's saying, "Listen, I'm going to make myself known, and it's going to be, and that's they're not going to." And Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not hearken to Moses because of their shortness of breath and because of their hard labor. And at that point, now
this is Parsha Vayera. Right?
This is all Vayera, right? And so that you see, and then here's the next thing is going to come about is going to be the beginning of the process of the plagues. But that's really what's going to be next, is that first it's going to tell us about who Moses and Aaron are, like their heritage, their genealogy is brought up here, which is kind of interesting. And then, boom, we're entering into this is where we're starting next, is we're going to enter into the whole process of the plagues, which is really a continuation of this theme of really God, in a certain sense, inserting himself into the history of the world, like where he shows himself overtly. That's the whole process here. Like he's coming to show himself, and at the same time also developing a very special relationship with us as a people. And so that's why when we say Kiddush, for example, on Friday night, we talk about the creation, right? We talk about you know, the idea of Shabbos as remembering creation, but also remembering the Exodus, because that's where we start to have this connection. Where you know, it's true that we have the heritage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and connecting with God and becoming connected in that way. But as a nation, doing it on a national level, that's what happens in the Exodus story. So you start to see this.
What part of the Kiddush is that that you say?
The second paragraph, right, the first paragraph is really just we're reading from the Genesis story, right? You read it's basically recording the, right? You say, Vayichlu Hashemayim v'aretz uchol tzvaam. That's talking about, you're literally just reading, that's coming from the creation story, right? It's talking about the fact that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, right? And then, here, let me bring it up here. And then, actually I can bring it up on the screen here. Let me bring it up here. Quickly here, liturgy, boom. Okay, there we go. Okay. So right here you see, right, this is Vayichlu Hashem, this is coming from the Genesis story, right?
Right? Yeah, got it.
Okay, let's see if there's any English there. No? Are there? Okay.
That's okay, I got it.
Okay, and then the second, after you make the blessing on the wine, then you say, Asher k'dushan mitzvah sabbanu, v'shabat kachab yavav rotzon hin chilanu. Right, so then he gave us the holy Shabbos with love and with will. Zikaron Maaseh is to remember the creation story, his actions in Bereishit, and this is also the beginning of all the holy days, remembering coming out of the land of Egypt.
Mitzrayim.
Right, Kivan V'Acharta, because there he chose us and he sanctified us from all the nations, and then he gave us the Shabbos, the holy Shabbos. So like there is this relationship between this coming out of Egypt and the giving of the Shabbos as a gift in a sense to us. And so it's like connected very deeply, Shabbos and coming out of Egypt. And so therefore you see that here. And so that's what we see, and so as we when and so this whole process here that we're starting now, this in the Exodus story, is this now next phase, meaning you got the burning bush, Moses going to the Jewish people and to Pharaoh, things go not well and go actually negative, and then God says, okay, now Moses, I'm gonna direct the show. I let you have your initiated this idea of talking, bringing the Jewish people into the mix. We're going to put a pause on that, and now I'm going to go into the what's really going to happen here, which is me really introducing myself as Adonai, as the Yud Kei Vav Kei, as a transcendental God of my reputation as God, or this aspect of myself that I'm going to really put myself in front of the Jewish people in a way that was not done till now. And then we see the 10 plagues take root, and in the 10 plagues you'll see those patterns of 333, of introducing different aspects of God, and you'll see like
what's the final one? If it's 333 at 9, what's the 10th?
The plague of the firstborn.
Oh God!
Because what that really is about, what that last plague is about, is God says to Moses as he's coming down for the first time, he says, "Bini b'chori Israel, the children of Israel are my eldest. I view them as my eldest child." You know, what does that mean? So the first of everything, we see this idea of firsts. It's a common theme over and over again. Bikurim is something. The idea of the firstborn, you have to like do a pidyon aben, right? There's this idea of reishis tivuascha. Everything about there's always this like stress on firsts, and that it's like the first is like shows as an indicator of what I have in mind. The beginning is always indicative of where I'm going. I start a certain thing, it's because I have in mind that I want to go in to get to the X, Y, and Z as my end point. So the idea of the Jewish people as God's firstborn is that the idea of the beginning of creation, God had in mind the Jewish people. I mean, we are going to help God fulfill the purpose of creation. And so therefore, God identified us as the firstborn. We are his firstborn. That's, by the way, the idea of the first mitzvah that the Jewish people get as a nation is the idea of Rosh Chodesh, because the idea of time, sanctifying time, the beginning of time, is that is like becomes like the most, like a highlight of everything that we do. So therefore, the idea of that last plague is God always does mida k'neged mida. He punishes based on what you did wrong. If you did X, Y, and Z, the punishment will be commensurate with the crime. And so too, as the Egyptians had afflicted the Jewish people, who are God's firstborn, so he eventually, the last of the plagues, is that last major smack, and so to speak, of punishment to the Egyptians, is that he's going to hit their firstborn. Okay, fine.
Wow. Okay.
And so you see, like, that's another theme that's going to run through, is this idea of first. That's another whole story. But I think we'll end it here, right?
Got the perfect.
Okay.